for tuning in today. My name is Frankie Mazzapica. The title of the message is Needing Another Chance. Needing Another Chance. Moses, one of the characters in the Bible that we, most of us all know, Moses needed another chance. And now when we think of Moses, we put him in the same category as people like Abraham, people like David, the Apostle Paul, Peter. All of these people needed a second chance, but we're just going to focus on Moses as a case study. Let's dive right into it. Exodus chapter 24. In Exodus 24, the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments for the first time. Now, the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments three times. The first time is in Exodus chapter 24, where God brought him to Mount Sinai. He invited him to Mount Sinai, and he told him the commandments that he was supposed to bring the children of Israel. He said, I want you to give them these Ten Commandments. So Moses marches down the mountain, and as soon as he gets down there, he looks at all the children of Israel, and he says, this is how we are going to serve the Lord. These are the things that God loves. These are the things that God hates. You know, when you begin your relationship with God, or you begin to evaluate your relationship with God, you have to ask yourself the question, do I love what God loves, and do I hate what God hates? If you say no, I don't love everything God loves, and I don't hate everything God hates, I want to remind you that you're a human being, and your flesh naturally gravitates to things that are not godly. So I don't want you to beat yourself up and condemn yourself, but I don't want you to tell yourself that it's okay either. I want you to go before the Lord, and I want you to say what I have said many times. Lord, I need you to do what you promised in Ezekiel 36:26. I need you to give me a new heart and a new spirit. If you don't give me a new heart and a new spirit, my desires will never be like the desires that you want them to be. If you don't give me a new heart and a new spirit, God, I am afraid of the person I am going to end up. I will promise you that that will be a prayer that the Lord will answer. Do you receive that? Come on, put your hands together. Do you receive that? I promise you. If you buy a lottery ticket and you ask the Lord to bless it, and you make all kinds of promises, Lord, if you give me $500 million, I'll promise I'll pay off the church and I'll give so much money to the poor. How many of you have made promises to God about that? Lord, I promise I'll come through for you. I can't promise you that the Lord is going to answer that prayer, but I can promise you that if you ask him to change your heart, to bless your desires, to begin to change what you believe, I promise you he'll come through. I promise you that. I promise you that. And so Moses, he began to share with them what God loves and what he hates, but that wasn't working. And so he goes back up the mountain, and he tells God, look, it's not working. And so the Lord in Exodus chapter 31, he looks at Moses and he says, back up. I got this. If they're not listening to what you're saying, I'm going to give you a visual example. I'm going to give you an object that you can hold before the people that has my handwriting on it. And so he says, back up, and he begins to carve out. God begins to carve out. Can you imagine being there? I mean, my goodness, all of a sudden, I'm just going to just give me some creative liberty here. All of a sudden, like lightning makes this circle in this rock, and before it falls out of the mountain, this all of a sudden, like a laser, like a laser like fire, it just and it begins to write words. Can you imagine being there? All of a sudden, this it just falls out. It's like the commandments are on now on a rock. It's now on a tablet. Moses grabs it. He picks up the tablet and he starts walking down the mountain. He's so excited. He's got a vision for the people. He's able to do his assignment so much easier. Have you ever been there? You're like, God, I want to serve you. I really do. But man, you're just going to have to help me. My goodness. Make my vertebrae like stone, because right now it's like licorice. Like, help me. And he's coming down and he's got help and he's holding it up. He's proud. He's holding it. And he gets down there and he looks at the people that he was leading. He sees them all. And while he was gone, he told Joshua, okay, I want you to be the leader over these people. I'm going to be gone for a few days, maybe even a few months. I don't know. You, Joshua, you and H-U-R-R, you and you guys are in charge. He comes down, all the people, they're naked, and they're dancing around this golden calf that they built, and they're worshiping this calf, and Moses starts to burn with anger. He looks, I think, the Bible doesn't say this. He looks at Joshua and and says, you had one job. One job. I didn't ask you to take care of all the camels. I didn't ask you to take one job. I come back. People were at least looking to the Lord. Now they're, and he starts to burn with anger. And he takes the Ten Commandments and he throws it down, and all of a sudden it breaks into pieces. Can you imagine? And he looks at it. It's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just did this. I got three major points for you. And each of these points took place after he threw down the Ten Commandments. Number one is that he messed up. He blew it. He did something stupid. Number two, he needed a second chance. He needed another chance, actually, because he had already burnt off his second chance. He needed another chance. He had already received multiple. He needed another chance. And then number three, he needed to elevate his aggression and his passion. Let's just focus on that first point. He needed, he blew it. He lost his mind. And so he comes before God. He goes back up the mountain and he's like, I blew it. Now watch this. He had a vision. He had passion. He was excited about his assignment. Have you ever got a glimpse of your assignment? A glimpse. You didn't have all the details, but you were like, I believe this is what God wants me to do. I don't know exactly how to get from here to there. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I believe this is what God wants me to do. In the moment you had that, you felt this rush. You're like, I know why I'm born. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to do what he does. I know what I'm supposed to do. And in that moment, it was like you had muscles on your teeth and lightning in your veins and thunder in your soul. And then you take all this passion, this knowing, and you get into chaos. It's like the people around you are going crazy. They're not dancing around a calf naked, but they're two steps away. They're crazy. is causing your world to be crazy. You were just fine until they came marching in. And you'd love for them just be normal. I'm not asking you to be the Pope. I'm not asking you to be Mother Mary. I just want you to stop driving me crazy. Have you ever been there? Blink two times because I know they might be sitting next to you. Just blink two times. You just want to just like, I want my friends, my boss. Oh my goodness. I used to have a boss that I was wondering if he was the Tin Man, if I could open him up. There's no heart in there. I'm like, who are you? You just want to be in some form of unity, because when you're in a unity, it is fun. It is exciting. It feels good to be a part, like, oh my goodness. That's all you want. That's all you want. But when it doesn't happen, you blow it. I hope you're enjoying today's sermon. I'd like to hit pause just for a moment, because every Sunday we always pray for people who need a healing in their body. I hope this next testimony encourages you to believe God for miracles in your own life.
So I've been having knee problems for 4 years. I have a knee that dislocates and it's needed a patella realignment, and I got the bad news that I need a patella realignment probably my sophomore year of high school, and I've been dealing with it since freshman year. But I came to church today and I just had the feeling something was going on, and I heard Pastor Frankie say that he was feeling like his knee was gonna fall out, like fall kind of thing. And I just like felt to myself, I was like, okay, that's me, but like, I don't know. And so I looked over at my mom and she was crying. She's like, that's you, and I know it. And I was like, okay. So I went up there and my knees just felt tingly, and because I have it kind of both in my knee, both knees, and they both felt really tingly and weird. And I could just feel my knees just feeling stronger every time I bent them. So whenever like I felt that, and I just like took my step forward and I was like, thank you, God. And I could just feel that they're just stronger. And yeah.
So let me move on to the second point. Moses blew it. He lost his vision. He lost his passion. He got confused. He forgot about everything God was calling him to do. Why did he forget? It's because of chaos. It's because of people. It's because he couldn't stay focused. He just went nuts. So he goes back up the mountain. I need another chance. But this time, he didn't go marching up there with the same mindset. He came up there with a different mindset. He had this degree of humility, this degree of hunger, this degree of hope. And I want to quote this passage to you, because I believe that the word of God will resonate in your soul. And you'll hear the heart of Moses, and you'll also hear the heart of God. This is what it reads in Exodus chapter 33, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. This is how it reads. Moses came before God and he says this, if I have found favor. See, after you've messed up a million times, you don't know anymore. Are you with me? Okay, just me. That's cool. If I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways so that I can understand you more fully. Remember, God, that this nation, they are your special people. They are your very people. The Lord replies, he says this, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest, and everything will be fine for you. Moses replies, what a great conversation. Moses replies, if you do not personally go with us. Don't send Michael. Don't send Gabriel. I don't even want 7,500 angels. No. Thank you. If you do not personally go with us, Do not make us leave this place. I don't know if you've ever been there. If you're not coming, I'm staying. Amen. Don't make us leave this place. And then he gives the explanation why. He says, how will people know that your favor is upon me and upon your people if you do not go with us? Because it is your presence that separates your people and separates myself from the rest of the world. I don't want to blend in anymore. If you have favor on my life, I don't want to blend in. I don't want to look at the guy across the street who doesn't even call on you, doesn't even recognize you, and I'm blending in. If I have found favor in your sight, then make sure your presence is in me and around me, because that's the only thing that's going to separate me. And then the Lord replies back. He says, Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked me to do, because I do have favor on you and I know your name. And so Moses, all of a sudden, he realized that what he was thinking was him, the Holy Spirit drawing him towards him. What he was thinking was being substantiated by God. Let me tell you what he was thinking. He was thinking, God, if you are not in it, I may as well forget about it. When we're walking into this new year, all of our hopes, all of our desires, we got to know that if God is not in it, we might as well forget about it. So we better bring it to him and say, if you are not in it, then I don't even want to try to do it. I got to have you. I got to have you. Come on, if you agree with me. I've got to have you. I had a friend of mine. He came to preach. I was a youth pastor at the time at a church up in Illinois. And he came to preach. And then afterwards, I got the privilege of taking him out to eat. And I treated him first class. We went to Applebee's. We went to Applebee's, and I don't know what we ate. I feel like Applebee's offers everything, you know. Whatever you're in the mood for, we got steak, we got chicken, we got pasta, we got fajitas, we got mushrooms. They got it all. And we're sitting there, and we're eating. And there was a bar over there. And we're just minding our own business. And we look over there, and there's this guy. Clearly, he's drunk, and he's cussing like crazy. You know, my friend and I were just like, hey, you know what? We can't expect people who don't know the Lord to have the same standards as us who do know the Lord. Let's just let them go. So the guy, he's cussing like crazy. He's drunk. And then all of a sudden, he says, oh, and he says it, you know, in total vain, Jesus Christ. My friend, who just got done preaching, he's still feeling the afterglow. You know, when you come to church for the next few hours, it's just like you feel the afterglow. I'm like, he's still feeling the afterglow. All of a sudden, he raises his voice. He looks across the room and he goes, hey, that'll be enough of that. You're talking about my Savior right now. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, Jesus. Because I'm like, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Look, I agree with you. I'm with you. But, bro, if you're not just going to fight that guy. you're going to find all those guys. And you're not going to be able to find me. I'm going to be in the car. Thank God. The guy looked at him and was like, all right, I hear you. And then he went back. And I was like, angels are still walking this earth. They're still walking this earth. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, there's 100% chance when you get back to the hotel room, you're going to be like, all right, God, look, I blew that one. I need another chance. And then there's going to be point number three, what Moses had to experience. He also experienced as well. I've experienced, you've experienced, we've all experienced. Is now it's time, if we genuinely are passionate about God, if we're genuinely passionate about not just lip service of saying, God, if you're not in it, I don't want anything to do with it. If I'm going to pursue you with the expectation that I am going to see you get involved, it's no longer lip service. Now there's action put underneath it. There has to be this escalated passion. I'm raising the bar. So he goes before God. He's like, look, I blew it. The Ten Commandments, I threw it on the ground. I got frustrated. I lost my mind. I forgot about my vision. I was just mad. I was just angry. I lost it. Give me some liberty here. Moses, I told you the Ten Commandments. I gave you the Ten Commandments, and now you're back. Now you want a third set of Ten Commandments. I know. So the Lord says this, all right, I'll give you another set of the Ten Commandments. This is Exodus chapter 34. I'll give you another set. But here's the thing. I'm not doing all the work this time. I'm not cutting it out of a mountain this time. No. You are cutting it out of the mountain now. You're cutting it out. I'm going to write on it, but you're cutting it out. It's time for you to know, Moses, that if you're going to go to the next level with me, you have to be aware and embrace that your walk with God requires a tenacity. Patience has to be in place because I'm not going to move when you want me to move, but when I do move, you'll know when I've moved. You see, your anointing, the call of God on your life requires you to be tough. It requires it. People who are not tough think about the anointing, want the anointing, pray for open doors, but never see them. Your assignment with God requires a level of toughness. Toughness to fight the enemy when he tells you all the lies. Toughness to break through the moments when you're not motivated, and you tell yourself, motivation will never sustain me. Commitment will sustain me. Yes. Commitment will sustain me. What I love is God looks at Moses and he says, now look, I need you done carving this tablet out of this rock by tomorrow morning. I know it's going to be hard. You got to get it done. Maybe God had a little bit of Texas in him. Get her done. And so now Moses, now he has to do something he's never done before. And so here we go. Moses is looking at this big rock mountain, and he's got to cut tablets out of the mountain. He didn't know that was coming. He didn't bring his hammer. He didn't bring his chisel. He didn't bring any of those things. He looks down. He sees a little rock. He sees a big mountain. He's got to carve it out himself. But he's got to hurry up because he's only got till tomorrow morning. So he's grinding it out. Remember I told you that your assignment from God requires tenacity. It requires toughness because it doesn't come for free. Your anointing is powerful, but it's not for free. You've got to fight for it a little bit. God will give it to you, but it's not for free. You got to make some sacrifices. So here he is, he's grinding it out. He finally gets it out and he's in a rush. You know, he's not quite sure why he has to be in a rush, but then he finds out in the morning, Moses did all he could do. Then God did what he couldn't do. And he said, now get down the mountain and finish your assignment. He was saying, hurry up, Moses, raise the bar, put some intensity into this, get fired up. Don't just wander around and stand there in a set of hope. Make some decisions, flesh it out. You got till tomorrow morning. Come on, we got to get going. I want to say that to you as well. Come on, raise that bar. This is a perfect time. It's a new year. Raise the bar, raise the standard, make a commitment, and then watch God do what you can't do. Come on, do you receive that? Do you receive that?
Thank you for allowing us to come into your homes today. It's our goal to encourage you and challenge you to believe God for greater things in your life. Right now, we're looking for partners who want to lock arms with us. For your monthly commitment of any amount, we want to send you our exclusive partnership bundle of 3 equipping teachings. We're sure it will help you grow strong in the Lord. We will see you at this time next week.